Vendor Man! We're doing podcast stuff!
I'm Twisted Cat.
I'm Patch.
I'm Batman.
I'm Tipsy Duck.
And I'm Mr. Wizard.
We just saw the Voodoo Glow Skulls, the English Beat, and Vampire Weekend. So I'm just going to start off by saying that 4 out of the 5 of us had never heard Vampire Weekend before.
Yes, we have continued our streak of going to see
opening
bands and not knowing who the headliner is.
Yes.
Scosho!
I knew that Vampire Weekend was a band. I knew of their existence.
Yes.
I did not know anything about their sound. And honestly, I'm not sure that I can answer that now.
I have much to say, but we're going to start at the beginning.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So,
very good place to start.
Voodoo Glow Skulls. Always fun.
I love them.
Always.
Southern California Cholo Ska.
Yeah.
They are so fantastic. So fucking much fun.
So I was actually unfamiliar before coming, so this was a delightful introduction.
Yes.
Excellent.
I'll absolutely be listening to them more.
Yes.
It was so much energy.
I got some names for you.
I got to introduce coworkers to them a number of months ago, and I love the way that people react when they see them for the first time. It's such a wonderful experience.
Yes. What? Yeah. They are fantastic.
The last time we saw them, I don't know if we were doing the podcast yet.
No, we were not.
Because
it was way back at the, was it the Rose, Rick?
Yeah.
It was the one up in Santa Clarita.
Which I think they also called the Rose.
I thought it was called like the Valley Club or something.
Oh, yeah, it might have been.
Canyon.
It was
Valley.
The Canyon Club.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
The
Canyons.
They opened for
Reverend Horton Heat.
Reverend Horton Heat is when we saw them.
Because I saw them with you.
Okay.
Yeah.
It was
VGS and Rev, and yeah. I think there was a third
there
band.
There was a third band.
I don't remember who it was.
I don't remember who it was.
It wasn't at the Rose, because the Rose was, was it Seether who did the acoustic set?
No.
Daughtry.
No.
No, Hinder.
It was Hinder. Like Hinder. A Storm.
Yes.
Like a Storm, that's the name of it.
Yes.
We've been at this a bit.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I think they named that one the Canyons in the time that it was open at the Valencia Mall.
Yeah, the Santa Clarita one.
Yes.
Anyway.
To see them at the Hollywood Bowl was a delight.
Absolutely.
They were a little far, but...
Yeah.
Yes, but we could hear them just fine.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, the sound quality was great.
I wanted
to be able to see their faces
and the
cameraman
outfits,
which clearly had colors on them.
Yes.
Yes.
The cameraman wasn't there, apparently, yet, because the camera was on them, but they were the same size on the screen as they were on the stage, and...
Yeah.
I noticed the same thing. It was like, there is no magnification here.
Yeah.
They are one of those bands where if you find an opportunity to see them at a dingy, tiny venue that only 3 people you know have ever heard of before.
Do it.
Do it.
Luckily, they play those type of venues
all the time.
Yeah.
There's a ton of those little shitholes in Orange County, and they're a ska band, so...
That's what they play.
That's where they play. That's where I have always seen them.
They do well at Alex's bar in Long Beach.
Yeah.
So I think that may have been the first crowd chant of fuck you ever done at the Hollywood Bowl.
Very likely.
That was fabulous.
Yes.
Yes. Tipsy Duck, what first time, first impressions, you like, thoughts?
It was just so fun. I didn't know it was ska night.
You had, what, like 90 minutes warning that you were coming to the show? So
more or less, yeah. I was like, I like the English Beat, I like Vampire Weekend, the other guys must be fine. and they were a lot more than fine. I just immediately started bouncing around. You could probably feel that I was tapping my feet the entire time.
That's ska.
That's ska.
Gotta love that beat.
Yeah. I think my only downside is I wish I could hear some of the lyrics more clearly.
Hmm.
A lot of it turned into like, wah! It was like, well.
Yeah.
I mean, that's also the Voodoo Glow Skulls.
Yeah, it really is.
You didn't mishear it.
Yeah, enunciation is not really what they're known for.
But check them out. They're all over YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
They've been around a while.
Yeah, just a hot minute.
So, I'm pretty sure I saw them first like 25, 30 years ago.
I know, yeah. I've seen them more than 30 years ago. Different lead singer, obviously.
Wow, but, no. Okay. Yeah, we've reached the point in the night where I'm too young to be here.
All right, let's move on. The English Beat.
Speaking not, of yeah. old,
I'm too young to be here.
Yeah.
The English Beat.
This was definitely a bucket list band for me.
Yeah, same.
You have never seen English Beat before?
I have not.
Oh, wow, nice. They play around LA so much.
Well, he lives here.
Yes.
But no, this was my first opportunity to reach out and grab it. Just formative music for me.
Oh, yeah.
Between them and The Clash and Madness, which we saw a couple of weeks ago, I mean, that was my introduction to non-mainstream music.
Yeah. And they very much carry echoes of The Clash with them.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And super nice guys.
Yeah.
I actually have the benefit of probably 10, maybe 12 something years ago, actually mixed a set for them at some little bar in Fullerton somewhere. So I've actually worked with them before, and they are lovely human beings to work with.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the thing about bands that have been around for that long. You don't get to be around for that long unless people like working with you.
Or you back up the dump truck full of money.
Yes. Right. Yes. Or you're, you know what? I'm not going to say a negative thing about another band.
There you go.
I do all the time.
Yes, but that's you.
Well, okay.
So yeah, good set.
Really good set.
They played the hits. They
played a couple of others. It was too short.
It was
too short. That's the problem with them being an opening band.
I thought that they were the headliner when we bought these tickets.
Yeah, I really assumed that this Vampire Weekend thing was going to be the first band playing.
Yeah, because who the fuck are they?
Apparently many, many people think that they're amazing.
Turns out we're just old. It's fine.
Yeah, there's very definitely the one person who is generationally closer to their target demographic knew about them, and the rest of us went,
"Who? I don't know, but they're playing with the English Beat and the Voodoo Blow Skulls, so
they must be a ska band. Let's
right.
go!
Right. Yeah. Right, pretty much.
They are not necessarily a ska band.
They are not a ska band at all.
No,
but,
no.
But
not even a little bit.
Well, yes. I think we're there.
Yeah, we're there. Yeah.
English
so...
Beat was exactly who you want the English Beat to be.
Yes,
that I don't think we need to.
Dave was a bit cheesy, but that's Dave.
He's cheesy. Ruined,
yeah, but... that's not a bug, it's a feature.
Oh, yeah. So. All right, so then there was this new band that we had never heard of other than Tipsy Duck called Vampire Weekend.
I'm going to let y'all talk first because I have a lot to say.
Okay.
I'll go ahead because I have very little to say.
So, no, please.
So they were reminiscent in weird ways of the Grateful Dead and Fish. And I come to find out in doing a little bit of research while I was sitting there during their set that they, in fact, styled their tour style after the Dead. So I'm like, okay, well, I picked that up. The noodly guitar was mostly Grateful Dead for me.
I pulled mostly Paul Simon out of that.
There is not a lot of dissimilarity.
Yeah, ton of Paul Simon up in there. They fucking love that album.
Well, and vocal styles, they're very Paul Simon.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I heard, you know, Call Me Al, like, in 8 different songs.
Mm-hmm.
Not a bad thing. There were a number of things that had me just kind of confused.
The Super Mario lava level music done as a bass lick was a little confusing because it had nothing to do with the rest of the song. It was just random Super Mario music in the middle of a song.
I feel like a lot of times the last half of the set changed around, but at the beginning, anytime the piano was playing, he was like doing his own thing compared to the rest of the band, as far as I was concerned. It changed at the end, but he was like jazz soloing while everybody else was playing the regular song.
Patch is about to
explode.
No.
Tipsy, do you have anything to say?
Because you actually know them.
Yeah, I guess I do. So I was, you know, very surprised to see them in a ska night. but I will say that when played live, the ska influence certainly comes out in a few of their songs, and it made a little bit more sense.
Like, definitely the first two or three songs that came on, I'm like, oh, I guess that's why they're playing. And then they stopped that. And I was like, wait.
Yeah. And then there was no more ska. Including the song that they claimed they had ska-ified was not ska. Yeah, no. I was like, I'm not sure what's going on here.
They played pretty much all their hits and about half their new album for people who care about that.
Okay.
I looked up the track list on their new album. I haven't listened to it yet, but based on the titles, that's about what happened.
Alright.
Yeah. Do a better live show than I was expecting. But, yeah, I had a good time.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. I still think I'm going to hold to what I... Sorry, go.
Actually, yeah, I guess, you know, I think going into this when, Some other friend I mentioned I was going to see Vampire Weekend, and they're like, who the hell are they? I was like, well, their music is fun and inoffensive and not especially memorable, and I think that's still generally true. But I enjoy them.
I would agree with that.
Emphasis on the fun.
Yeah. My first reaction was, this is Starbucks pop. And that's important. Like, that's not a denigrating sentiment. Like, that inoffensive coffee shop music is really important music, even if it's not something that I'm drawn to. The way that I phrased it earlier was, it's like if OK Go and the Monkees had a love child that they abandoned in the lobby of Star 98.7 in 2004. And I said that without any knowledge of when they began as a band.
Having looked it up, it was 2006.
Wikipedia says 2005.
Either way, album came out in 08, so...
Regardless, I didn't know how close I was.
So you're not far off. I sat and I listened to these guys very carefully tonight. And I have to say, my takeaway is I am very, very impressed with them as a band. And I'll explain why. Because everything that Mr. Wizard has said... sorry. Edit that
it's
out.
Fine.
Everything that Mr. Wizard has said, I agree with, for the most part. They, as a band, fill almost the exact same niche as acts like Paul Simon, Peter Gabriel... Phil Collins, Dave Matthews Band, all of those elements, like what in the 80s people called sort of world music, it's super eclectic. They're all over the map with their musical styles. And something I figured out, it took me a while to figure this out, about a third of the way into their set, I figured out that they are super fans and music nerds to the nth, because almost every single song I was able to pick out something that they had cribbed from somewhere else.
That jives with a sense that I got at some point that I couldn't explain why they reminded me of the Decemberists.
Because that was their Decemberists song.
Yeah.
And I texted all of you when they played their Cure song.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And the song after that, I told you where the drum beat came from. And so, like, give me 6 months and a video of this, and I can tell you where every single song got its inspiration. Because almost every single one of them was that clear. And whoever does their arranging, I don't know, I assume it's the lead singer guy.
Yeah, Ezra.
Whoever does their arranging has the mind of a sample producer DJ, because he can take pieces like a drum beat from over here and a piano riff, pardon the phrasing, a piano riff from over here and a guitar riff from here and a bass line from here, and mash them together into something new. Now, that something new is not necessarily better than its constituent parts, but it's skillfully and masterfully done.
Yeah.
Turns out he has producing credits, including a song for Beyonce off of Lemonade.
Yes, not surprised at all.
Yeah.
His mind is delicious.
Yeah. That does track with some of the thoughts that I had along the way, that, like, even where I wasn't enthralled with the artistry, I could see the technical proficiency of each member of the band in their performance skills.
Mm-hmm.
Right, the drummer at one point was doing something that I recognized as technically proficient, even if I personally couldn't be bothered to give a shit about it.
Sure.
And that's where art is subjective.
Yes. And to bring up the Mario lick that you mentioned earlier, at the end of the Mario lick, just before it finished and turned back into the rest of the regular song, he was pulling triplets like Victor Wooten.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They are amazing musicians. I personally question their artistry, but they are absolutely amazing musicians, and what they do is really impressive. If not for me.
Sure.
Yeah. The audience was definitely very excited.
Yes.
They have a lot of hardcore fans.
They do.
There were a couple of things I'm like, everybody here knows what's going on. I'm okay.
Yeah. So I feel like they are that generation's amalgamation of a whole grip of 70s and 80s rock that they're not familiar with, but they can scratch that itch through Vampire Weekend.
I'm replaying moments of it. Like when I texted to the group that, like, if we take the bass guitarist and one of the drummers and lock them in a room with the catalog of P-Funk.
Right, which is why I said I think you're wrong.
Yeah.
Because they already know that catalog.
That's, I'm picking up on that now, and I'm replaying that moment and going, yeah, that's when they hit a funk stride,
mm-hmm.
that probably was pulling from Parliament Funkadelic and all of the other,
Bootsy Collins and everybody. Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Which I kind of want to see concert footage of them again and listen to it as a jazz nerd.
Uh-huh. Because there was a jazz number in there, too.
But not just the jazz number. The jazz theory.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because I feel like I could listen to them with a jazz theory nerd layer and get more out of it than I allowed myself to get this
mm-hmm.
time.
Mm-hmm.
Which, again, is a me thing, right? And
Mr. Wizard has a YouTube rabbit hole for tomorrow.
Tomorrow? I don't need to sleep.
It'll still be tomorrow when you're watching it.
That's true.
Yeah, so I'm glad that you're picking up on what I picked up on about a third of the way into the set.
Well, it helps that you're right.
I get that a lot. Yeah, so I'm not necessarily going to go out seeking out their music, but I wouldn't kick them off my concert lineup.
Yeah. Especially if they keep pulling great opening bands.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, I would be going to see the opening band.
Yeah, but right. I wouldn't leave after.
Right.
Which, and we didn't.
Yeah, we didn't. We have in the past.
I was wondering how this was going to play out because we didn't know what to expect.
I was also wondering how this was going to play out because you all were expecting a ska band.
Yeah.
I went in tabula rasa. I had no idea, and I was like, what, now what?
I mean, I had no idea, but also since your opening bands were Voodoo Glow Skulls and the English Beat, you know, I was expecting some new ska band that I haven't actually heard.
Yeah.
There's a few of those.
Yeah. Their first two songs were just three guys, a bassist, a guitarist, and a drummer, up front, and the two songs that they played were very
ska influenced.
Well, they more than that, they were 50s boogie woogie.
Mm, yeah. Okay.
And I was like, okay, I don't know how they're gonna headline as three guys doing 50s boogie woogie for an hour and a half or however long their set was, but I was on board, and then there's set changed, and I was no longer on board, and I was very critical and skeptical of them until I figured out what they were doing.
Mm. Yeah. I was just confused in there because you've got the three guys playing up front. And I'm like, I swear I hear a keyboard in here somewhere, but there's certainly not one. But I mean, maybe it's just on the guitar or something. And then...
I told you that curtain was going to drop.
And then the...
Which, can we talk about the visuals?
The lead singer and, like, guitarist is out there essentially by himself, and they have just taken down the drum kit.
Yeah.
And removed it from the stage, and I'm like, what the hell is going on?
It's okay, it turns out there were two more.
Yeah. Apparently there were, but I'm like, what is going on here? I have no idea what's happening. They've just... taken the drum set off the stage. How are they going to do the rest of the show? Is it all going to be just synth? What's happening here?
So, the visuals.
Yeah.
Can I start by saying I hate the LD. The lighting director needs to be poked in the nose.
I think it was just our seats. I think it was just your seats, because I didn't have any problems.
Well, I found it very aggressive.
Yeah.
The strobe, there was too much strobing.
Well, it was shining in my eyes. Yeah, that's...
You don't like the lighting designer of this?
That's what I said.
Yeah.
I don't like the lighting designer. Part of it is there was way too much blue, which makes me unable to see anything. And then when there was not blue, it was shining in my face.
Yeah. I think that modern... And by modern, I don't mean just within recent years, but... starting really with like arena rock, there's this tendency for certain bands and certain lighting designers to lean on stage lighting to either supplement or replace stage presence. And I feel like that was an aspect of what was going on here, because they did have stage presence, but it was nowhere near what the lighting was designed for.
Yeah, it wasn't fucking Iggy Pop.
No.
I couldn't tell if there was stage presence because I couldn't fucking see anything.
Same. I mean, from the professional perspective, this was a show that was designed. Somebody made the decision, and this was straight up an artistic decision of how to light this show.
Sure.
So it wasn't as much about the performers and lighting the band for that part. It was about lighting the space and creating that mood of stuff with the lights.
Well, because everybody wants to light the bowl.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of it was very kind of monotone lighting, very just white and shadow, white and shadow, white and shadow. A lot of backlighting.
Mm-hmm. There was really only one or two songs that had color.
Yeah, and then they did the scene changeover to the new backdrop.
That looked like the Dune popcorn bucket.
Well, that was the first one.
Yeah, I know.
And then they came back to
it. And then they went to the guy's face from the eclipse, and it started in, like, amber tones, and then they went to all of the UVs and did that.
And then he got laser eyes. You forgot about that part. He got red laser eyes.
Yeah, I saw that.
I completely missed that.
Oh, no, those came... You couldn't see them from our seats... but when they had the camera from the dead center, two of the moving lights had come down perfectly into position to be little red beady eyes in the middle of the glasses. Obviously designed that way because they were perfectly set and not really moving around and doing anything. They were the red laser eyes on the thing that were not visible as such from our location. We were at an angle that did not get that.
I saw them, but...
Yeah, I only saw them I saw them there, but I saw them in that perspective from the screen.
There were also people standing in front of us.
There was that too.
And dancing and jumping up and down.
So yeah, they had three completely different sections of the show. The first was very much white shadows, a lot of backlight stuff, and just flipping back and forth, front, back, front, back, front, back.
And white suits. Like, yeah. It was very monochromatic.
Yeah. So it was very grays and stuff like that. They went into the ambers and the purples for that middle section. I went to the restroom and came back when we were back in the Dune popcorn bucket, but with color now. They were adding in a lot of color with their strobes and everything that they had not done on the first part of that section.
Mm-hmm.
So I, they,
I just want to really quickly interject that that is a loving comparison. I own the Dune popcorn bucket.
Do not say loving and Dune popcorn bucket in the same sentence.
I will do what I want with that popcorn bucket in the comfort of my own home, thank you.
I've seen that bucket. There's no comfort.
Agree to disagree.
Anyways.
So, Vampire Weekend.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed them once I figured out what they were doing.
I enjoyed about half of their stuff. I was like, oh, okay. And then they would bore me for a little bit, and then something else would come up. I'm like, oh, I like this one again.
Yeah, but I could say the same thing about Social Distortion.
Sure.
Sure.
You're not wrong.
Like, there's some fighting words.
There's some songs that just aren't for me.
Okay,
that's fair.
Right? That if they were to play a song, a set the length that Vampire Weekend played, there would be songs that were in that set that I would just be like, okay.
Hmm.
And they're one of the bands that I've seen them a few times, and I will see them any chance I get.
Hmm.
That's not at like one of those 8-stage multi-band weekend events, because I personally don't like those.
I'm trying to envision Social D playing an hour and a half set.
They did when I saw them at House of Blues Sunset.
Okay.
And it was great. And I don't remember a single song that I didn't love, but I know that they have songs that I've heard that I'm like, this is lower in my playlist.
Okay.
And I feel like the same, like with my brain keeps wanting to say Imagine Dragons. And I think it's really just because of the vocal timbre of the lead singer. Because stylistically, not really. But Vampire Weekend is like not music I would seek out necessarily, but I'm glad I know it's there.
Yeah.
Because there are moments in life and in like entertaining when you're trying to figure out the right music for a mood or a moment, and they are the perfect choice for some moments.
Yeah. Yeah, they actually, some of their stuff was rather soundscapey.
Sure.
There was a couple of bits where I'm like, okay, what is the name of that fucking band?
What was the song where I said to you that they reminded me of early...
Post-apocalyptica?
Yeah, Apocalyptica and Apex Twin.
Yes.
Like the one of their soundscapey ones, it really had like a mashup of those two for me.
I did not catch that.
No, this is when you were in the restroom.
Okay.
I mean, Emperor is the band that I'm trying to think of. They're
Black Emperor.
Yeah, they're fantastic. I love them to death.
That Save Ye Black Emperor.
Yes, that's it.
Okay.
They're so much fun. They're just this 40-minute track, soundscape, guitar, noodle band. They're so good. And some of the stuff that Vampire Weekend did tonight was very reminiscent of that.
You know, King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard, right?
What? Mm-hmm.
I know that band. Is this the first time in our friendship where I know a band reference that you don't?
It's not... placing and perpinging out of my head.
I have never heard those words before in my life.
They are fascinating. There's a rabbit hole for you.
All right.
I'm fascinated by this. I've never known a band that you didn't before.
They're a niche band.
Okay.
That's one way of putting it.
Yes. Sure. I tend to like niche bands, though.
Yes, you would actually probably really like them.
Okay. Good to know. I'll ask you again when we get home, because I won't remember that one.
Yeah, maybe I'll tell you about it tomorrow, because otherwise I will be up all night listening to King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard on YouTube all night long.
So circling back just real quick, having brought up
Apocalyptica.
Thank you. They're playing in L.A., and I was very excited until I realized they were doing all Metallica covers.
Ugh. Not just no, but hell no. Yeah.
Exactly. So, I didn't bring it up.
Thank you.
Until now, because it got brought up already.
Right.
So, Anyway, I think that's it. We've got, what do we have next?
Do we have more Weekend of Ska? We've got another thing coming up in like a, in the next couple of days.
I think we're done with the Ska for right now, other than what plays in my car on the way home.
Cheese sticks.
I do like me some cheese
except
sticks.
For Voodoo Glow Skulls, which we decided is not cheese sticks, but chimichangas.
Yes.
Yes, sure. If you just go to the float page, I've got a blog post.
It's so okay. much easier for me to do it this way.
Okay. I don't think we have anything until like next month.
No, I think you're right.
But then there's like a couple of things.
We have the Summer of Ska is not done.
Okay.
You guys are going to see Goldfinger, Safe Ferris.
Right.
Yes.
Unwritten Law and Urethane without me.
Yes.
It's not that without you, but yeah.
And then I think there's like Jane's Addiction, and then you and I are going to Vegas to see...
No. The weekend after Save Ferris is Melissa Etheridge and Jewel.
Right. Which Batman is not going Etheridge. To.
Yeah. And then we're into August.
And that's the whole like Jane's Addiction and then Hailstorm. Yes.
Jane's Addiction, which I am also not going to because... Right. I have a story about Jane's Addiction, seeing them live.
And who is opening for Jane's Addiction, please?
No idea. It's so funny. Who is it?
Love and Rockets.
Yes!
Oh, God.
Love and Rockets with Jane's Addiction.
Yeah.
My college years are calling.
So the one time I've seen Perry Farrell live on stage, somebody was on too much acid. I don't know if it was me or him. I did not enjoy the set.
Fair enough.
But we have talked about so much stuff other than the three bands that we saw this evening.
Right.
So I think we're just rambling at this point.
We probably are. We've gone over 30 minutes. That's fascinating.
Outstanding.
Dun, dun, dun.
All right, so I've been Twisted Cat.
And I've been Patch.
I'm still Batman.
I'm Tipsy Duck.
And I'm Mr. Wizard.
Get in! We're doing podcast stuff! We want love if it's torture. Don't say I didn't warn ya. Boys only want love if it's torture. Don't